Welcome to 7 weeks to Financial Success and Personal Fulfillment. This is Jessica Ortner, and welcome to week three. On our journey to create real change, we can oftentimes be confronted by our worst enemy, our own critical voice. That voice can stop us in our tracks. So in this class, we are addressing what you can do to overcome this voice and take a step forward. So I'd like to welcome back Nick. Nick, thanks for being with us again.
Jess, it's having so much fun with this series, and it's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Okay, Nick, like I said, we are going to be talking about this critical voice. Most of us, we think, you know, we know what the critical voice is, but I'd love to hear your definition of it.
The critical voice. Well, what we're calling the critical voice is that, you know, you hear about the angel and the devil on the shoulder, right? So this is the little devil on the shoulder, whatever side of your shoulder it is. This is the voice that tells us all of these things about ourselves and about others that are critical. It's the voice that says, I'm not good enough. It's the voice that says, you've got to do a better job here. You're not doing enough. At the end of the day, the critical voice, more often than not, is criticizing us for not being enough in some way. And that's what we're going to focus on today, really taking a look at that idea of not being enough. What does it really mean to not be enough? Why have we set ourselves up to fail constantly in terms of being enough? And why is it such a pervasive issue for so many people? And most importantly, what can we do to quiet, to tame, to rein in that critical voice? Eventually, you know, we want it to be as quiet as possible. Maybe some enlightened people can silence it altogether. But at the very least, we want to turn down the volume of that critical voice. And, you know, I think in terms of, I was thinking about the title of this program, 7 weeks to Financial Success and Personal Fulfillment. And the critical voice, and we're going to connect it to financial success in just a minute, but it also plays such a big role with personal fulfillment, because I see a lot of people who have financial success and maybe want more or whatever they have going on, they want to grow things, and that critical voice is taking away the personal fulfillment side of things, right? So we've talked about this before. What's the point in doing all this work? What's the point in making money? Obviously to pay bills and to have a certain amount of freedom. But beyond that, why are we doing it? And we need to have that element of personal fulfillment in it. And quieting that critical voice is key to that.
Absolutely. Because if you do succeed and get the money you want, you're not going to be happy even when you have it, because money doesn't make that critical voice stop criticizing.
No. So that's and a you really hear, important you know, point. You hear ridiculous stories, which I don't have firsthand an experience of a story this huge, but I've heard from some people saying, oh, you know, this guy made $1 billion and he was upset because his buddy was making $3 billion, right? And to all of us listening, that seems beyond ridiculous. And at some degree, it's a level of psychosis to think that way, you know?
Right, to always be comparing.
Yeah, there's something that is really wrong with that. And that's that critical voice. And a lot of us do that in a smaller scale where, you know, we're comparing ourselves to others and setting, you know, it's okay to set high standards for yourself. It's fantastic to set high standards for yourself. The question is, and we're going to discuss today, is how do you balance setting high standards with also cutting yourself some slack and giving yourself a break? And what most of us do is we set high standards and then the critical voice comes in and we continually disappoint ourselves because we have this expectation to be perfect. You know, oh, tomorrow I'm going to run my day perfectly. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And I'm going to work out, then meditate, then eat this perfect nutritionally balanced breakfast that I've been told to do, and then be focused and energetic and present, all these things all day. And it's fantastic to set that high standard. But then the end of the day rolls around and the critical voice says, well, you didn't do it all. You missed this part of it. Because I've yet to meet someone who who runs their day that perfectly and efficiently. And guess what? You don't need to be perfect and efficient to be happy, fulfilled, and financially successful.
Absolutely. Well, Nick, where does this critical voice come from?
Well, the deepest stuff really comes from childhood. And it's a theme that's going to come up again and again throughout this program. And repetition is fantastic. So I want to make sure that when you hear these things, you don't turn off and go, oh, childhood again, right? Mm-hmm. We're not going to cover it in one session. And there's different things that are going to come up for you related to a particular issue that's going to ring that bell. And it's going to go, ooh, that's it. That's what I was looking for. So stay present to the fact that we're going to look at childhood a lot, because this is the time when the things that we hear from our parents, from our siblings, affect us in the deepest way. You know, I remember, you might remember from the film The Tapping Solution, Jodi talked about her experiences growing up, Jodi with fibromyalgia. And in this case, she wasn't focused on the fibromyalgia. She was focused on all these things she wanted to do in her life that she wasn't accomplishing. The book that was unfinished that had been sitting on her desk for years, all these other goals and dreams, and they were all half done. And when we were looking deeper at what was going on with her, she shared a story about her father paying more attention to her than her sister. And she recognized that
Paying more attention to her sister than to Jodi.
You are absolutely right. Paying more. So her father paying more attention to her sister than to Jodi. And you can imagine that situation when that happens. There's jealousy, there's sadness, there's all sorts of feelings. And Jodi decided for herself, learned for herself, however it happened, that she would have to be perfect in order to be loved. She obviously compared something about her sister to herself, recognized, well, I'm not as pretty as her, as smart as her, as tall as her, as athletic as her, whatever it was. So that's why Daddy must love her more than me. I better be perfect. I'm not good enough. And, you know, it's funny. It goes, that particular case goes back to comparing again, right? Comparing ourselves to others and finding ourselves wanting or lacking in some way.
Yeah, absolutely. And what was so incredible is when she tapped, focusing on this critical voice and this critical voice that was telling her that she needed to be perfect, she got past that and she finished her book a few weeks after that event. So it's amazing how quickly things can change and how fast we can take those steps forward once we get rid of that critical voice or quiet down that critical
voice. Exactly. Get rid of it, quiet it down. It just unleashed energy within her that said, I can be out in the world. I don't have to be perfect. You know, the idea of I have to be perfect or else is going to stop you dead in your tracks everywhere, because, you know, you don't hit perfection. I mean, that's the funny thing about that word, that there will never be a moment when you put out a book that's perfect, a project that's perfect, a new idea that's perfect, your perfect job. I mean, it's just silly. And we know this when we think about it. Yeah, of course, nothing is perfect, but we still do this to ourselves. And again, the delicate balance that we have to navigate throughout this process is saying, how do I set high standards for myself? How do I look for the perfect job, if we want to call it that? Maybe we want to call it something else if perfect doesn't work for us because we recognize what comes with that word. How do we look for the fantastic job? How do we put out an incredible book? How do we start a fabulous project without having that standard be so high that you can never meet it? And then you can never celebrate, because if you can't celebrate what you've done, then that's where the personal fulfillment just goes out the window.
Absolutely. So, Nick, do people ever get completely 100% rid of their critical voice?
No. I mean, you know, it's possible. I'm working towards it. I like to be very honest about my expectations. I am extremely happy with where my critical voice is now as opposed to where it was 5 years ago. The way I look at it for me personally, and I can only talk personally, really. I can talk about clients and my experiences with them. The challenge is I'm not inside their head, so I don't know if they're telling me the truth, right? So in this case, I can only share how I feel, and maybe you can do the same. I feel that I've transformed my critical voice from one that criticizes to one that gives me information, right? So, and it can serve too, because there can be times when, you know, if my critical voice before was about not working hard enough or having to be perfect with something I put out there, if I get glimpses of it now, I pay attention to, A, is it just being a critical voice and I need to tap right here to just quiet the nonsense that I'm thinking? Or is it giving me good information? You know, yeah, you're actually, you know, you need to change this about what you're doing. We need to determine the difference between the critical voice and intuition, right? And how do we do that? Well, it's kind of an intuitive process, you know. The critical voice, I mean, here's a little clue. The critical voice, usually when you hear it, makes you feel kind of crappy.
Right, you feel it in your body.
Right, you feel it in your body. You're not happy. You don't feel a surge of energy. You don't feel empowered. Intuition might very well tell you, hey, you need to work on this project a little more. Or, you know, this isn't up to the standard of what you can do. Maybe that's the intuition. That's okay. That's intuition. And you feel it and it feels right to you. Or the intuition says, what it will mostly say for most of us is, hey, you need to slow down. You know, you need to really be aware of the great things that you're doing. Cut yourself some slack. Give yourself a break. Set high standards, but also do it within the context of some balance. And you know, start paying attention for that. Start trying to recognize within yourself, okay, what's the difference between my critical voice and my intuition? And you'll know the difference.
Right. Absolutely. Yes. I keep saying absolutely. I keep using that word because I'm just agreeing with everything that you're saying. Okay, Nick. So what are some common voices, you know, or some common critical beliefs that people have that we should begin to become aware of and do some tapping around?
Yeah, that's a great question. Well, the easiest way to determine, I'm gonna say a few, but the easiest way to determine specifically for yourself, because there's 100, 200 different ones, right? There's some common ones from everyone, but the easiest way to determine that critical voice is to sort of look at the beliefs that you have about yourself. And one very easy way to find that out is to just say out loud, I am, and then you fill in the blank, right? And you fill in the blank with, in this case, remember, we're focusing on the negative, the truth, to be aware of it and to clear it. In this case, you say, I am lazy. I am not smart enough. I am not hardworking enough. I am not worthy. I am not smart enough to make money. Right? So just keep asking yourself and try that a couple more times. I am, fill in the blank. And if nothing comes up, let's just give it another second. Because sometimes too, we struggle. We don't, you know, get present in your body. Remember, we keep talking about getting present so you really feel it. Take a deep breath and then just say, I am, and see what comes up. And then see how it feels in your body. See how you react to that.
Right. You know, another thing that comes to mind, Nick, is these are overall, you know, critical beliefs that we have that we need to work on. And I think it serves a lot too when we're doing a project or when we're focusing on specifically money, how critical we get around trying something new, or how critical we get to changing our approach to things. So I think it serves too to ask ourselves that question of what are those I am beliefs when we're being specific on a certain project that we want to start or a certain dream that we have.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, we can break it down specifically on the things that we face in our life. The I am statement is a very, very general one, right? So for most people, it'll be I am not enough for some reason, right? That's very general. Now, you might not feel that specifically when you, like you said, when you start a new project, it will show up in different ways, in specific ways. In this case, you know, I am not enough is the very global statement. So we can tune in. Remember, with everything we're doing, and if you remember back to the original webinar before the program started on the tapping tree, and we went over the tapping tree and how everything we're dealing with has the side effects. And in this case, the side effects of the critical voice are the things that you're saying to yourself, right? There are the actual, and the side effects are what happens because of that. So the side effect of the perfectionism from the critical voice is not getting anything fully completed, not putting it out there because you're trying to be too perfect. The side effect of saying, I'm not good enough or I'm not smart enough is never starting a new project because you're not smart enough, so it's not going to happen. So we look at the side effects. We look at the branches of the tree, which is the emotions, right? So it's how you feel. Tuning into what are the emotions that are going on when that critical voice speaks up. So you hear, I'm not good enough, I'm not smart enough, and there's sadness that comes with it. And then there's the trunk of the tree, which is the events, right? So again, breaking down those statements and trying to find out, like with Jody and her father, when did this start? When did this critical voice really lock in? And then at the bottom of it all is the roots, which is what we started with. The roots are the belief systems of I am this. So as we look at the, you know, the different formats of the critical voice, keep that. I think that tree is so great to just keep in mind, because if you get stuck tapping somewhere, it can remind you, you know, if you're tapping on an event and you're just not getting anywhere, you might ask yourself, okay, well, what emotion am I feeling now? Let's focus on the emotion right now to see if that's a doorway. Or if you're tapping on a belief and you're not making headway, you think, well, I keep tapping on even though I'm not enough. Hey, that might be a little too global. It might move some energy, but it might be too global. Maybe you need to find the specific event where you learned that happened. So you can move throughout the tree into tapping all different aspects of it.
Right. So Nick, a lot of the things we're talking about is not good enough or not worthy for things that are almost moving forward, like with wanting to be more financially well off. If we're taking a moment and looking at our bills and thoughts come in about our past, critical thoughts come in about those past, is that an important place to start? Or do we start focusing on the critical voice while we're focusing on a future project? Or does it not matter in which direction we begin?
Well, you can take it any way you want. I do think that there's really two ways to tap with a critical voice. And let's get to some tapping right now, because I know people are anxious to tap. And in the first week, we talked about the triggers and the noise. And this critical voice is just a part of that. So what we want to look at is, okay, that bill was a trigger, and we looked at calming that response. Now, maybe there's more work left to do there, and maybe we have to, you know, you calm the stress response to the bill, but you still look at the bill and say, I can't believe I got myself in this situation. I am such an idiot. Like, why did I buy all this stuff, or why did I let this happen, or all that self-talk that comes up, you know, or you're at work and you're starting a project, a new project, and you say, I really can't do this. I have not succeeded this before, this, that, and the other. So tapping in the moment when that comes up is a great way to get started. Remember, awareness is always key. I'm going to keep repeating it again and again. We need to be aware of what's happening, recognize it, and say, hey, this is something that we want to change, make the commitment to change, and then tap on it. So why don't we do some tapping on just the critical voice, period.
Okay.
So tune into an event, something that happened recently, or maybe you're criticizing yourself right now, or you did half an hour ago, or you know you're going to in an hour. You know what you say to yourself. So tune into what you say to yourself most often. And again, tune into the emotion of that. Feel that in your body. What's that self-talk sound like? When do you criticize yourself and for what reason? Tune into that feeling and let's start tapping on the side of the hand. Even though I have this critical voice.
Even though I have this critical voice.
I just can't quiet it down.
I just can't quiet it down.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I'm so critical of myself.
Even though I'm so critical of myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I just can't stop criticizing myself.
Even though I just can't stop criticizing myself.
I've been doing it for so long.
I've been doing it for so long.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Eyebrow point. This critical voice.
This critical voice.
Side of the eye. This critical voice.
This critical voice.
Under the eye. I don't know how to silence it.
I don't know how to silence it.
Under the nose, how do I silence it?
How do I silence it?
Under the mouth, I've had it for so long.
I've had it for so long.
Collarbone, this critical voice.
This critical voice.
Under the arm, it's in my head.
It's in my head.
Top of the head, and it won't shut up.
And it won't shut up.
Eyebrow, why do I criticize myself so much?
Why do I criticize myself so much?
Side of the eye. Why do I keep thinking the same thing?
Why do I keep thinking the same thing?
Under the eye. This critical voice.
This critical voice.
Under the nose. This habit of criticizing myself.
This habit of criticizing myself.
Under the mouth. Is it serving me?
Is it serving me?
Collarbone. Why am I doing this?
Why am I doing this?
Under the arm. How can I stop?
How can I stop?
Top of the head. How can I be easier on myself?
How can I be easier on myself?
Eyebrow. How can I forgive myself?
How can I forgive myself?
Side of the eye. How can I cut myself some slack?
How can I cut myself some slack?
Under the eye. Maybe I can give myself a break.
Maybe I can give myself a break.
Under the nose. Maybe I can take a deep breath.
Maybe I can take a deep breath.
Under the mouth and forgive myself.
And forgive myself.
Collarbone. I'm not perfect.
I'm not perfect.
Under the arm. And neither's anybody else.
And neither is anybody else.
Top of the head. Releasing this need to be perfect.
Releasing this need to be perfect.
Eyebrow. Forgiving myself.
Forgiving myself.
Side of the eye. Accepting myself.
Accepting myself.
Under the eye. And quieting this critical voice.
And quieting this critical voice.
Under the nose. It's time to quiet this critical voice.
It's time to quiet this critical voice.
Under the mouth. I thank it.
I thank it.
Collarbone. But it's time to move on.
But it's time to move on.
Under the arm, it's time to give myself a break.
It's time to give myself a break.
Top of the head, it's time to cut myself some slack.
It's time to cut myself some slack.
Take a deep breath. Well, I think I'm going to take a break from this now because I just did some tapping and I'm ready to cut myself some slack. And
no!
I'm very busy, so I got to go. Thanks for listening. I need to go for a walk in nature and... bless you all.
You know, we really can be so hard on ourselves.
We sure can. I know that the accompanying audio meditation that you're putting together for this week, I mean, every week is so powerful and people are just absolutely loving it and transforming. And it's so powerful to do it every day and to get into that space. I know this is going to be a very special one that people are going to not only use for this whole week, but keep using for a long time. Because quieting that critical voice, not only does it feel so good, you know, to finally go, oh my gosh, just cut myself some slack. We are harder on ourselves than anybody on the planet, you know. And the problem is that, you know, and it's important to take a look at how you're criticizing other people and see if that's a mirror for some of the things that are going on with you, and to recognize if you're being critical of other people, that that's also a critical voice to quiet. But the reality is that if we were as critical of other people as we are of ourselves, we wouldn't have many friends. You know,
right, it's true.
We nobody would like us at work because we'd walk around being like, wow, you're not doing good enough work or this, that, and the other, pointing out all the things that are wrong with people. And, you know, maybe we think of them other people. Most people don't say them to other people. We do say them to ourselves all the time. So unfortunately, the critical voice is unleashed within our own minds. And hopefully we keep it in check. If we are being critical of other people, we don't tell them everything we think.
Yeah. Well, Nick, what would you say to someone who thinks, I'm not really ready to let go of my critical voice because I feel like it keeps me on track. I'm not doing good enough and I want more for myself. And, you know, my critical voice maybe even resembles my father or my mother. Yeah. And they did it with love. They criticized me because they wanted better from me. So what would you say to someone who's looking at their critical voice through that lens?
Yeah, that is a tremendous question. And I want everyone to really sit with that and understand what Jess asked, because it's so big that most of us are scared to quiet that critical voice because we believe that that's the voice that keeps us going, right? That's the voice that actually helps us achieve everything we want in our lives. And if we quiet down the voice, then we're basically giving up. I think it goes back to what I mentioned earlier with saying to yourself, okay, because people will make this compromise, I believe. And they'll tell me if I'm wrong and we'll hear about it. If we turn down the noise on the critical voice, and we turn up the volume, turn up the noise on intuition and allow that voice to come forward, right? The voice that says, and you can allow the voice to say, hey, it's time for more, right? It's time to be more than I am being right now. Maybe you're at that place where you need that, right? You need that kick in the butt. You're actually not working that hard. And you say, no, I need this critical voice because I need a kick in the butt. I'm not doing enough. So make that kick in the butt come from intuition. And in terms of a feeling place, you know, I keep referring back to the body because I think it's so important to get in our body and really know what it's telling us. The critical voice has a tendency to be very heady. Like people hear that in their head, right? The intuition tends to come from lower down, whether it be the heart or the gut. So if you start thinking from that place, and it's kind of, It's a weird thing. If I say to you right now, think from your stomach or think from your heart, think from your gut, there's some people who are like, what on earth are you talking about? My brain is in my head, right? That's where I think. But just play with it. Just instruct your body to do that, to just take a deep breath and move down into the heart and into the gut and say, what does thinking look like from there? And what you can also do, you know, you can do the tapping when the critical voice is going, right? So just, you don't even need to worry about the phrasing, and even though the critical voice is acting up, that's what you're hearing. So just go ahead and start tapping on whatever it is it's saying and just run it through your head. And if you're by yourself, say it out loud. Just say that and start tapping and start calming that response. And then see if you can get the same message or the best message from your gut or your heart as opposed to your head, okay? So what does that mean? It means that if you're working on a project and the critical voice is telling you, you are not working hard enough, you are getting way behind on schedule here, you need to be more focused, you're on Facebook too much, blah, 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 right? This whole critical chatter. You just start tapping right there, okay? You start tapping and you think about everything you're supposed to be doing and what you're doing wrong and everything that you're not and you're not good enough and why you're upset at yourself. So you tap and you tap and you tap and you keep going until you find that critical voice quiets down. And now you ask your body, okay, give me whatever message I need now, but give it to me from my heart or my gut. Now what comes up? You might actually hear similar things. You might hear, you know what? You're actually spending a little too much time on Facebook, right? So why don't you recognize what it's doing for you? Maybe see if you set some limits for yourself and you just check in once a day to be practical about it and not be checking in every hour. Or if you're working on a project, you might say, yeah, you actually, it's kind of important to focus now. So maybe put on some great music and set a goal for yourself and focus. That is, and I mean, some people say like, well, that's the same thing. You're getting the same information, but you're not. You're getting a different quality of information. And the reality is that you are so much more likely to act on the information from your intuition than you are from your critical voice. Because we don't like our critical voice, you know? It's like, we hear, oh, you're doing this too much, you're doing that too much. And guess what? It often sounds like a parent, right? We mentioned parents, and they can play a big role in establishing that critical voice. But even if it comes from society or things we see on TV or other expectations from friends or family, that critical voice sounds like an adult nagging you. And we are all adults here, and we do not like it when anyone nags us. So there's a tendency to then rebel. Oh, you're spending too much time on Facebook. Well, I'm happy. I'm having fun, and I don't want to do other work, right? We can turn into a child very quickly, as opposed to quieting that critical voice and then from the intuitive place finding, okay, what information do I need and what do I need to do? Yeah, I actually would be happier if I spent less time doing this and more time doing that.
Nick, another aspect of the critical voice that you've touched upon, and I know we talked about it before, but it's this idea of always looking at the negative, doing a project and being very critical and not seeing the steps that we have taken or all that we have done. And so I think it would be great to do some tapping on this habit that we have of being so hard on ourselves and always looking at what we're doing wrong instead of all the things that we're doing right.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, unfortunately, biology works against us a little bit here. This is where the amygdala comes into play, the fight or flight response. There's a mechanism that we are trained to notice the negative more, and it's that survival mechanism. We better pay attention to the things that are wrong so we can keep ourselves safe, right? Unfortunately, we tend to do that on things that don't, you know, our safety is not in play for most things now. So we need to retrain the brain to quiet down that negative and start looking at the positive. So let's do some tapping.
Okay.
Tapping on the side of the hand. Even though I keep noticing what's wrong.
Even though I keep noticing what's wrong.
I can't focus on anything else.
I can't focus on anything else.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I just can't focus on anything else.
Even though I just can't focus on anything else.
My critical voice just keeps speaking up.
My critical voice just keeps speaking up.
There's so many negative things around me.
There's so many negative things around me.
And I have to notice them.
And I have to notice them.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I have to keep myself safe.
Even though I have to keep myself safe.
By noticing everything that's wrong.
By noticing everything that's wrong.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though, one more time, even though I just can't stop noticing what's wrong.
Even though I just can't stop noticing what's wrong.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Eyebrow, I can't stop noticing what's wrong.
I can't stop noticing what's wrong.
Side of the eye, my brain is trained to do that.
My brain is trained to do that.
Under the eye, I just can't stop.
I just can't stop.
Under the nose, I've got to keep myself safe.
I've got to keep myself safe.
Under the mouth, and I do that by noticing what's wrong.
And I do that by noticing what's wrong.
Collarbone, I have to notice what's wrong.
I have to notice what's wrong.
Under the arm, I have to keep myself safe.
I have to keep myself safe.
Top of the head, I have to keep myself safe.
I have to keep myself safe.
Eyebrow, it's not safe to be positive.
It's not safe to be positive.
Side of the eye, it's not safe to look at the positive.
It's not safe to look at the positive.
Under the eye, I have to be negative.
I have to be negative.
Under the nose, to stay safe.
To stay safe.
Under the mouth, this pattern of negativity.
This pattern of negativity.
Collarbone, this critical voice.
This critical voice.
Under the arm, changing it now.
Changing it now.
Top of the head, it's safe to notice the positive.
It's safe to notice the positive.
Eyebrow, it's safe to believe in the positive.
It's safe to believe in the positive.
Side of the eye, it's safe to be positive.
It's safe to be positive.
Under the eye, it's safe to be optimistic.
It's safe to be optimistic.
Under the nose, it's safe to be enthusiastic.
It's safe to be enthusiastic.
Under the mouth, I choose to be optimistic.
I choose to be optimistic.
Collarbone, I choose to be enthusiastic.
I choose to be enthusiastic.
Under the arm, it's safe to be enthusiastic.
It's safe to be enthusiastic.
Top of the head, feeling positive now.
Feeling positive now.
Take a deep breath. You know, that got me thinking just about how hard it really can be to be positive in this society. And we get so much feedback. You know, just as we were doing the tapping on it's safe to be positive, I started thinking about I knew the experience people were having right now with that tapping along that, no, it's not, you know. When I'm positive, people make fun of me or they tell me that I'm being naive, right? How many times have we all heard that? Oh, you're being naive. You're not being realistic.
Well, you could be disappointed. You know, if you have too many expectations, you're scared of being disappointed. So you'd rather just be negative and,
yeah,
you know.
Because that's safer. That's safer than being disappointed. And we are all very programmed to think that way. So it's important to tap on that as that comes up. You know, we're quieting the critical voice and you're going to get a little fight from it. You know, you're going to expect a little bit pushback. Again, the tapping makes it so much easier to quiet it. Without the tapping, it's so difficult. The only real process is just to have awareness and keep trying to recondition the brain, you know, and say, okay, you know, I'm being critical of myself. Stop. Think of the positive. And that can happen, but man, that's a lot of work. With the tapping, we are directly retraining the brain to act differently. And you'll find as you start quieting that critical voice and then quieting the fear of it being gone, you know, there's a new identity that is coming into place here when you don't have that critical voice. You're going to find that life is a heck of a lot better. And not only are you feeling that personal fulfillment, but doors open financially in such huge ways.
Right. And I think it's important to touch upon this because, you know, we're talking about the critical voice, which really impacts every aspect of our life. And this is geared towards finances. Does this critical voice actually stop people from having the business they want or even cash flow? How do you tie in the two?
Well, I mean, it's right at the bottom of it. And I know a lot of people, it's very easy to not have that awareness to say, well, you know, my finances are my finances or whatever's going on is not related to the things that I'm saying to myself. But if you go back far enough, they do. And it's these small decisions that we make, whether we stop ourselves from doing that new business venture because of that critical voice. And I was working with a client a couple of weeks ago, and she shared with me, we did a lot of tapping on the things that she was saying to herself, the same work we're doing now, that critical voice. And she shared with me later that she was astonished when she recognized all of the projects that she had just sitting right in front of her, all the different income opportunities, all the different opportunities to do great work, to spread her message in the world that she just couldn't even see because that critical voice was so much in the way, right? And if that critical voice shows up as perfectionism, you can have an opportunity right in front of you and you shut it down instantly because you go, yeah, I mean, doing that cookbook would be great, but it's too difficult. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough, or it needs to be perfect before I finish it. Now I'm not putting it out there. That job looks great, but I don't think I'm qualified for it for whatever reason. And there you go. You cut yourself off. So at every turn, really, we cut ourselves off with that critical voice.
Right. It's true. And Nick, another interesting fear that people have that I think can make the critical voice louder is this fear of failure. How are the two related?
Yeah. So like everything else we're talking about here, they're all deeply intertwined, right? So what is the fear of failure usually about? There's two elements. One is past events that have told you X about yourself, right? So when we were saying I am, and you were filling in the blank, those were beliefs that have been created oftentimes from past events. So if at any level you failed in the past, and if you haven't, then you need to send me an email because I would like to meet you. It is non-existent. We've all failed at some level. And the reality is that usually the most successful people fail most because they keep trying things. So that fear of failure brought up from past events keeps us directly stopped to what we want to do next. I mean, I'll tell you, the last 10 years, and I shared some of this in the webinar, I've been an entrepreneur right out of college. I mean, I spent 3 months working in the corporate department of a bank. I wasn't cut out for it. I had to get out. And I said, let me try things myself. And I failed massively. And it was, I would succeed and then I would fail. And it was one thing after another. And as the challenge is that those failures were very, very important in terms of learning lessons and learning what to do differently. But you've got to take the lessons and pull the positive out of it and not let it stop you dead in its tracks, right? So what I was able to do with the tapping when I rewrote my financial story and my beliefs about myself is take those quote-unquote failures and see what worked, what didn't work, what did I like, what don't I like, what did I do right, what did I do wrong, and now establish a new pattern for myself. Unfortunately, where people get stuck is they can have the same experiences, and now if they don't tap on those traumatic events, because that's what they are. You know, when a business goes under or is in trouble, it's a traumatic event. When you get fired from a job, it's a traumatic event. When you don't get hired for the job that you want, it's a traumatic event. These things build upon each other, and we have these expectations, and instead of taking the positive out of the experience, we are just stuck.
We get more critical.
It's remember, fight or flight or freeze. So we get frozen and critical of ourselves, that we're not good enough, that we're not smart enough, that we failed before, so we're probably going to fail again, that it's not even worth trying, or, yeah, I'm going to try, but I will probably fail again. And that voice just acts up to, it gets louder and louder. So we use the tapping to take those past experiences, because the reality is, and I know this is going to be hard for some people to hear, but the more financial traumas that you've had, the more financial experiences that you've had, the more things that you've gone for and failed at in the past, the more information that you have right now that you can tap on and then take all the positive out of it. Okay, so what's done is done. It's in the past. Now, use that to empower yourself. I'm betting on the person right now who has failed 10 times and is now doing the tapping to change their financial story over the college graduate who just got out and has never had a failure, right? Mm-hmm. So take these experiences, take these failures, and for once in your life, actually give yourself a little pat on the back and then a tap on the eyebrow, and say, even though I've had these failures, I deeply and completely accept myself. Let's do some tapping on that right now.
Okay, let's do it.
So tune in to these failures. We've had them. They're there. They're in the past. But if one stands out as a particularly traumatic event, if it's like, yeah, that time, I'm having a hard time letting go of that event, tune into that. Or you can put them together in a big pile if there's 10 of them. And just lock in on those and feel what you feel. Are you angry about what happened? Are you embarrassed? Are you sad? Are you frustrated that you keep failing?
And Nick, could failure also be not accomplishing something, having a dream that you didn't do? So it's almost the lack of action than the actual action.
There's no doubt
about
it. We all have a string of 1,000 failures of the things we said we were going to do, right? Yeah. And we chalk those up as failures. So if you can string all those together, if they come up, and just whatever really comes to mind when you think of failing, lock in on that event, that emotion, that belief, give it a number on 0 to 10 scale for intensity, and let's do some tapping. Even though I've failed so much.
Even though I failed so much.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though I have a history of failing.
Even though I have a history of failing.
And I keep judging myself.
And I keep judging myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Even though part of me believes.
Even though part of me believes.
That I failed more than anyone else.
That I failed more than anyone else.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
I deeply and completely accept myself.
Eyebrow, all these failures.
All these failures.
Side of the eye, all the trauma.
All the trauma.
Under the eye, from these failures.
From these failures.
Under the nose, I just can't let them go.
I just can't let them go.
Under the mouth, I can't let these failures go.
I can't let these failures go.
Collarbone, they keep me stuck.
They keep me stuck.
Under the arm, I keep hearing about them.
I keep hearing about them.
Top of the head, from my critical voice.
From my critical voice.
Eyebrow, all of these failures.
All of these failures.
Side of the eye, all these failures in my past.
All these failures from my past.
Under the eye, all these failures from my present.
All these failures from my present.
Under the nose, all this trauma.
All this trauma.
Under the mouth, about what I've done.
About what I've done.
Collarbone, or what I haven't done.
Or what I haven't done.
Under the arm, releasing all these failures.
Releasing all these failures.
Top of the head, releasing this energetic imprint.
Releasing this energetic imprint.
Eyebrow, from all these failures.
From all these failures.
Side of the eye, I'm taking the positive lesson.
I'm taking the positive lesson.
Under the eye, and I'm moving on.
And I'm moving on.
Under the eye, I'm so happy with how much I failed.
I'm so happy with how much I failed.
Under the mouth, I have so much great information.
I have so much great information.
Collarbone, I know exactly how to move forward.
I know exactly how to move forward.
Under the arm, I'm betting on myself.
I'm betting on myself.
Top of the head, because I failed so much.
Because I failed so much.
Under eyebrow, and I actually didn't fail that much.
And I actually didn't fail that much.
Side of the eye, maybe I was blowing this out of proportion.
Maybe I've been blowing this out of proportion.
Under the eye, maybe it's time to let all this go.
Maybe it's time to let all of this go.
Under the nose, it's in the past.
It's in the past.
Under the mouth, and it's time to move on.
And it's time to move on.
Collarbone, it's time to move on.
It's time to move on.
Under the arm, it's time to let go.
It's time to let go.
Top of the head, letting all this go now.
Letting all this go now.
Take a deep breath. And see how that feels and check in on the intensity. Remember, as with everything, if the intensity's still there, pause, do some tapping on your own. You can rewind. You're listening to it later. You can listen again later. Keep tapping and you bring down until you bring down the intensity on these particular issues. And if something sticks out as a big event in the past, focus on that. And again, just think about it. Think about it and tap. Don't get worried about doing it perfectly. Don't get worried about the language. See it in your mind's eye. Remember what happened. Remember all the details of what happened. Remember what people thought about it. Remember how you felt about it. Ask yourself, what did I feel about myself when this happened? How did others feel about me? What beliefs did I create from these events where I failed? And just ask yourself these questions while you do the tapping and clear that charge.
Wonderful, Nick. Thank you for that tapping. I think a great place to wrap up, since we don't have much time left, is to do some positive tapping on, you know, I'm just looking at the positive sides, being a little bit nicer to ourselves. What do you think about that?
Let's do it. So let's go to the eyebrow point. Hello, Critical Voice.
Hello, Critical Voice.
Side of the eye, it's nice to see you again.
It's nice to see you again.
Under the eye, I hope we can be friends.
I hope we can be friends.
Under the nose, I really appreciate everything you've done for me.
I really appreciate everything you've done for me.
Under the mouth, but it'd be nicer if you got a little quieter.
But it'd be nicer if you got a little quieter.
Collarbone, I want to change this critical voice.
I want to change this critical voice.
Under the arm, to positive intuition.
To positive intuition.
Top of the head, this intuitive voice.
This intuitive voice.
Eyebrow, my critical voice.
My critical voice.
Side of the eye, turns into my intuitive voice.
Turns into my intuitive voice.
Under the eye, I'm listening to my intuitive voice.
I'm listening to my intuitive voice.
Under the nose, I'm believing in myself again.
I'm believing in myself again.
Under the mouth, I'm quieting down all this mental chatter.
I'm quieting down all this mental chatter.
Collarbone, so I can hear this intuitive voice.
So I can hear this intuitive voice.
Under the arm, it's time to listen in.
It's time to listen in.
Top of the head, cut myself some slack.
Cut myself some slack.
Eyebrow, give myself a break.
Give myself a break.
Side of the eye, I am doing great.
I am doing great.
Under the eye, I'm doing the best I can.
I'm doing the best I can.
Under the nose, with the resources I have.
With the resources I have.
Under the mouth, and that's enough.
And that's enough.
Collarbone, all I can do is my best.
All I can do is my best.
Under the arm, all I can do is forgive myself.
All I can do is forgive myself.
Top of the head, all I can do is forgive others.
All I can do is forgive others.
Eyebrow, and trust that all is well.
And trust that all is well.
Out of the eye, all is well.
All is well.
Under the eye, I'm so grateful for all of my failures.
I'm so grateful for all of my failures.
Under the nose, and all my successes.
And all of my successes.
Under the mouth, I believe in myself.
I believe in myself.
Collarbone, I believe in my ability to help others.
I believe in my ability to help others.
Under the arm, I believe in my ability to change the world.
I believe in my ability to change the world.
Top of the head, I believe in my ability to change my financial picture.
I believe in my ability to change my financial picture.
Eyebrow, it's time to believe in myself again.
It's time to believe in myself again.
Side of the eye, it's time to believe in myself again.
It's time to believe in myself again.
Under the eye, and it's happening now.
And it's happening now.
Under the nose, that's all happening now.
It's all happening now.
Under the mouth, and I'm having a great time doing it.
And I'm having a great time doing it.
Collarbone, my finances are growing.
My finances are growing.
Under the arm, more money in the bank.
More money in the bank.
Top of the head, and more fulfillment in my life.
And more fulfillment in my life.
Take a deep breath. And there we go. That's a little different than the critical voice. So now it's a matter of working at it. Again, paying attention throughout this week, seeing what those critical voice triggers are. When does it come up again? If it does, maybe we quieted it down forever. But if it comes up for whatever reason, pay attention. Doing Jessica's meditation every day to reinforce that positive voice, that intuitive voice. And just remind yourself, I think it's nice to be able to make the switch from the critical voice to the intuitive voice, right? Because it's very hard to just shut it up and say, shut up, you know, I don't want to hear you. This isn't working. Because then it's a fight. It's antagonistic. So just say, hey, critical voice, how about we turn into intuitive voice? Do some tapping, quiet the critical voice, turn it into the intuitive voice. So now that voice is a victory. It's an ally. It's not something you've shut up forever.
Right. This is exciting. It's freeing, Nick. I mean, that's what I really think it's about. It's about finally being free of the control that this voice used to have on us. So a lot of people are being freed to start following their passion, and that is really exciting.
It's very exciting.
Well, Nick, thank you so much. And again, I hope everybody taps every day along with the meditation. And Nick, thank you very much. I look forward to next week.
Me too. Take care.